You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio. Here's your host, Shanae Clements.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio 98.9 FM for the best country. Hi guys, my name is Shanae Clements. I'm a proud Kalkadoon, Birriggubba and Jitterbal woman from North Queensland. First and foremost, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land and pay my respects to elders both past and present. Welcome once again to the Deadly Choices Radio, our half-hour show dedicated towards all our mob making deadly choices. Remember, making a deadly choice is all about eating healthy, remaining active in body and mind, ensuring to keep up to date with your 715 checks, and be sure to resist the temptation to take up smoking, and if you're required, to take the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. Today we're excited to have Queensland and Australian Rugby League royalty in the house. With us at the Deadly Choices Ambassador and Brisbane Broncos legend Steve Renoff, and Petro Sevenisiva. Plus, on this grand final week episode, we also welcome dual premiership player and star midfielder, the Brisbane Lions AFLW team, Ali Anderson. Welcome to you all. First to you, Ali, if you could let the listeners know who you are and where your mob hail from.
Hi, guys. How nice to be on here. So I'm originally from Brisbane, born and raised, but my dad's from a small town outside of Rockhampton called Theodore. We're Gangaloo mob, and yeah, he hails from up there, but I'm born and raised down here.
Yeah, Brizzy girl. And a man who needs no introduction, Mr. Steve Renoff. Let us know who your mob is and where you grew up.
Yeah, look, I've got a couple of my mob. On my mum's side, a Goongri man. She was a Goongri lady. They're from out at Mitchell in southwest Queensland. And my dad here from Redcliffe up the coast, you know, Gubby Gubby. So I sort of hail from there. I grew up in a town called Mergham. My mum's from Cherbourg. That's out near Cherbourg. And so, yeah, that's where I hail from. But been a long time down in Brisbane here.
Yeah. And Petro, what a year it's been for you. Talk us through your journey. I think we started at Deadly Choices at the same time, and it's been a big progression for the year for you. And let us know the major parts and the best parts of Deadly Choices.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much. It's great to be here. And for me, it's been a really exciting, I guess, over 6 months now. It's great to join the Deadly Choices family. And obviously, for myself, just being able to be out in the community, obviously encouraging, you know, everything, all our messaging around making healthy, deadly choices. I love going out with our program officers out to the schools. That's been a lot of fun, and also getting out to the clinics as well. Yeah. And mixing with the community, and obviously ensuring that, you know, they're really enjoying, you know, their experience, you know, at the clinics, but also too making sure that it's a big part of their everyday life.
I know our community goes crazy for you. They're like, oh, he's still so big.
Well, I'm trying to keep fit. I think for Steve and I we're probably going to touch on it a bit later, but we took part in the game not too long ago. So yeah, we're trying to keep the weight down. It's always hard, but it's
trying.
It's good, you know, being active and being out there and, every now and again, chucking the boots on.
Yeah, yeah. So now before we start talking all things grand final, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear from you, Ali, and a little bit about your journey and what it takes to be a female AFL star.
Yeah, so I actually was sort of raised on rugby league. My dad's a massive Broncos fan. And
he's a good man.
And I grew up like playing a bit of rugby. I think that was sort of my first team sport when I was, you know, 5 or 6, running around with the boys down at Pine Rivers. So, yeah, and then I did a lot of swimming, a lot of tennis, a bit of individual sport, and then a bit of soccer when I was a little older.
Yeah.
But I didn't start playing AFL until I was in high school. So my sister started playing a couple of years beforehand. And then when I got to high school, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be like my sister. So yeah, I just decided to join in and then got to year 12, and I had a teacher who just was really enthusiastic about the sport and sort of made me go and play at a football club. I wasn't really keen to like sort of take it seriously, but I like sort of just did it. And then did a couple of Queensland rep side stuff. Awesome. And really enjoyed that, and just the feeling of sort of making the team and versing the best around the country, and just really enjoyed it. And then I sort of just never stopped, and then started to make the women's team. And then 2 years ago they announced the AFL women's sort of first premiership season, and it was sort of almost a given that you would be in it because you'd been involved in Queensland footy in the last couple of years. So I actually had a trip planned to the US, but I had to cut it a little bit short so I could come back and play the rest of the season. So yeah, it was like just something that sort of happened over the years, and I've grown to love it a lot.
Yeah, deadly. So Steve, growing up in Mergan, things definitely changed once you moved to the big smoke. I know I'm a Ingham girl from North Queensland, and one of the biggest things for me moving was hailing a bus. Everyone knew where I lived. I never knew you'd actually had to put your hand up to hail the bus. Public transport was a big eye-opener. Talk about what it's been like to live in Brisbane now and call it your home.
Yeah, look, I came out of, talk about the buses, early days. Obviously, I came down here as a 17-year-old, so I signed with the Broncos out of high school, and so I started my apprenticeship here at the Mater Hospital. I did my trade there. So I lived at Greenslopes, and we trained over at Red Hill, and I used to have to catch two buses. I used to catch one into the city from Greenslopes and then swap over in there and then catch another one out the Red Hill. And so then you turn around that night, and back then it was a little bit different because we trained late and we were in reserve grade. So I wasn't getting home till like 10 at night. Imagine me getting home from training at 10, 10 at night these days, Petro. That's so the boys are sort of finished mid-afternoon. But yeah, so, you know, they were just things we had to do and, you know, the commitment you had to make. As you said, it was pretty scary too, coming from the bush. I was very lucky. I had a couple of sisters down here, so that made it a lot easier for me.
Yeah, definitely. I moved down here with family too, and it was interesting. Even now, I still kind of pinch myself when I'm driving through the city, like, oh, wow, this is crazy compared to what I was doing few years back. But Petro, congratulations on your recent induction into the Australian Rugby League Hall of Fame. For you also, Brisbane has really provided some great opportunities, and I feel like you're part of the Brisbane environment now.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, look, it was an awesome honour, and I think, you know, when you're a young fella growing up and, you know, you have lots of dreams about what you want to achieve, and for me it was just to play at the highest level. Yep. And you know, I always say this every time I'm with Steve, you know, I always say about, you know, my days being a Broncos fan growing up, and he was one of my heroes, and I guess that's what you aspire to do. You aspire to hopefully get there one day, and for me,
he only said that because I'm sitting beside him.
That's it. No. And then, you know, to play NRL, you know, play Origin and play for Australia, I mean, they're things you dream about, and then to be recognised in the Hall of Fame was pretty special, and it was wonderful to be down in Sydney for the night. And yeah, just, I guess, reflect back on how lucky I've been.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big week. It's grand final week. It's exciting. I know my club at Div 1, West Brisbane Panthers, shout out. We made the grand final this year versus Burley. Didn't come away with the win, but that week was the slowest week of my life. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what it's like for a player to lead up into the grand final. And, you know, it's a bit of a big grand final week. We have Billy's situation. We have Melvin versus Roosters. Latrell's back. So give us your little insight on how the week's going to pan out for them.
I'll go first, Pet, if you don't mind. You know, we've been very lucky, Petro and I, to be involved in a few. And I think, you know, it's an exciting week. I know there's a lot of things. You've got things like Billy Slater's dilemma happening this week. And, you know, no club likes that leading, especially into a grand final. But Melbourne will handle that. But I think Petro will agree with me that, you know, we, under Wayne Bennett, we enjoyed the week. He encouraged us to enjoy it, lap up everything that's happening. It's a great time of the year. Yep. Well, I sort of always notice that this time of the year, training for a grand final, and you have weather like we had. It was just great to be out there. So we really look forward to that week. We made the most of it, and then we just made sure we were right by the time we got to the game.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's important. You know, you just want to try and stay as relaxed as possible. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the moment, because I guess you've worked so hard as a group to get there to that final week of the year. So it is about enjoying it. But yeah, no doubt, you just have to try and battle the butterflies. You start to, as you get closer to the game day, start thinking about it. And I think for both of these sides, you know, obviously the Storm have got so much experience. They've been there and done it before. The Roosters, I think they've been a good story too, but it is going to be interesting. We've got a few things that are happening, you know, at the start of this week that I reckon will be what everyone's talking about, but nonetheless, we're still looking forward to a massive game come Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of an arm wrestle, actually. So, Ali, there's always buzz around the AFL circles at finals time. We have some pretty big highlights too and exciting things in AFL. Tell us a bit about what you predict for the week.
Yeah, so, like, I've sort of followed Richmond the last 2 years, so a bit disappointed to see them go down to Collingwood last week. It was pretty big surprise because Richmond were definitely the favourites. But, you know, anything can happen at this time of year. So you have one bad game and, you know, your season's over. So I'm sort of like on the Collingwood train now. Even I shouldn't be because they knocked Richmond out. Yeah. But I just find them really good to watch. I'm really enjoying watching the American guy, Mason Cox, play. So it'll be interesting to see if he can turn it on for this game.
Yeah, I jumped on the Richmond bandwagon mostly because I like their Indigenous jerseys. So,
they're good jerseys.
North Queensland girl, didn't know what I was doing, but yeah, no, it was unlucky for Richmond. Tell us a bit about your winter league and your preseason that you're going to head into soon.
Yeah, so we played three games for our winter series and we'd won all three, and it was sort of more just a competition to sort of keep us all playing together and making sure that we sort of keep going, because a lot of the teams in the VFLW in Melbourne have teams now in that league so that they could all play together and be used to each other and be almost one up on us by the time the season came around. So, yeah, going into the season, we don't start training for another 2 months. So it'll be really good to get back with the girls and just sort of spend pretty much every day with them and getting back to good form. And hopefully have another shot at a grand final. I haven't got the greatest track record for grand finals. We just played last month in our local league and we lost our grand final. So I don't know how that feels. I played for 7 years sort of, I guess, seriously. And it's my ninth grand final loss.
Wow.
So, yeah, I have never won one. So I'm not the greatest luck. But, four in the last year, four loss.
So, Ellie, you mentioned the winter league. So that was with the Lions.
Yeah.
So what teams did you compete against in that? Was just local teams?
Yeah, so it was two GWS teams. So there was, like, a better one and then
Their seconds.
Two. Yeah, their seconds. And then we versed a Gold Coast Suns team, which will come into our league, not the next season coming, but the one after. So that's sort of good for them to sort of get together and have an idea of who they want on their team in the coming year. So, yeah, it was just a few games to sort of keep us ticking over. And GWS, their firsts gave us a really good run for our money. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go this year, because they had a really solid year season.
Unreal. Really exciting time for AFL women's. Yeah. And I think women's sport in general, guys are getting bigger and better really quickly. So that's exciting for everyone, especially the next generation. Petro, so this one's to you. You know, you follow your footy codes and Deadly Choices have really taken you in. And what's been the exciting part about Deadly Choices events throughout the year, and particularly the relationship that we have with Brisbane Broncos and the impacts that you see on our community?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think, again, it goes back to being a former player and probably the profile that you get through sport. That's why I guess I feel really honoured to be a Deadly Choices ambassador, because you can use that profile, you know, to get out and talk to, whether it's young kids in the schools or it's our elders in our elders programs.
Yep.
It's all about, you know, keeping them engaged and making sure that they're making healthy choices, but also too making sure that, you know, they've got a good relationship with their local health clinic, you know, which is which is really important. So I had a bit of fun a couple of weeks ago. I was out at Caboolture and jumped on the phones and was ringing up community members and just reminding them that their health check was up, and it was quite funny, you know, some of the conversations I was having. I think people couldn't believe I was actually talking to them, and other ones thought I was a salesman trying to sell them something. But you know, all that kind of stuff, just being able to be in the community and talking about, you know, such important program like Deadly Choices, and it's all about, you know, just getting on the right journey with their health, and obviously it starts with our schools programs, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Were they surprised how smooth and soft the voice was?
Yeah. I think one of the aunties there at Caboolture, she had a laugh, because I actually was in the clinic the day she came in, and she said I did a good job. So, I could have another career on the back of this.
So, Steve, there's also some exciting news, as you guys mentioned before, with the All-Stars Invitational League game, which you and Petra were involved in, which was organised by the Titans, and also the Cronulla Sharks have come on board. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, yeah, look, we obviously started, you know, with the DC with partnerships. Obviously, the Brisbane Broncos was our number one, and then we went down there, and the Titans have been really great. Mm. And, you know, that day we went down, then we played a curtain raiser and had all us old fogies running around. And, you know...
I think I'm still sore from that.
Oh, you don't know how sore I was that night. Oh, anyway, and we went around, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was good to catch up with a lot of the old players, wasn't it, Pet?
Yeah,
and, you know, big Brad Thorne played for us. It was so good to have... You know, he's still... Fit as a fiddle. So, you know, it was really good. Yeah. And obviously that day too with Preston, he, you know, he had an honour of the grandstand being named after him. And then you go forward to, you know, we had Cronulla Sharks approach us and they wanted to be part of the Deadly Choices program. And so we went down there and we launched that down there, and obviously took Preston down there. He's an ex-Sharky. And, you know, it was a really good, and they're a good club, you know. Yeah. They're really involved and they, you know, sort of put the hand out, and they've got their own community program, and we're just going to tap into that. And they do a really good job, I think, down there in the Shire. And it is good. And we encourage that, you know, with a lot of programs around the place.
Yeah, they were really impressive, April. I mean,
they were.
You know, Andrew Feeder and Jesse Ramian, you know, young guy on the rise. But just the way they were really engaged with what Deadly Choices was all about. And I tell you what, there were some fights over their Cronulla Sharks Deadly Choices shirts.
They love the shirts.
They actually look pretty good. Eh?
They're one of my favourites, I think, the Sharkies.
So it's really good. I mean, they're excited. excited. They're talking about, you know, the stuff that they're going to be doing in the community, engaged their local community. So it's going to be awesome to see that the Deadly Choices message continue to grow and spread its wings across the East Coast and hopefully Australia-wide.
That's really exciting. Like, clubs actually coming to us. I'm still a bit salty at Cronulla. A few years back, they knocked the Cowboys out, and I'm a cowgirl from up north, so haven't dropped that yet. But, it's really exciting to see clubs actually come to us and really want to use what we already have and take the really amazing SEQ program that we have and just spread it out to everyone, which is exciting. Hey, which way you mob? This is Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country, and you're here with Sinead Clements, your host. Now, Ali, the Deadly Choices team was lucky enough to be invited along to the recent unveiling of the Brisbane Lions Reconciliation Action Plan. Tell us a little bit about that, and obviously signalling some very exciting times ahead for the Lions.
Yeah, no, I was very lucky. I think it was about over a year ago now to be asked to sort of come along and be on the board for the Reconciliation Action Plan that they were making for the Brisbane Lions. And it was really pushed by Alan Christensen, who sort of decided that, you know, the Lions weren't doing as much as they could be doing. So he really wanted them to sort of do more, and part of that was by making this rap. So I was asked to sort of be on board, and I happily accepted.
Yeah.
So it's a big learning thing for me, because I'd never really done anything like it. So most of what I do is just sort of listening and figuring out what it's all about. So a couple of weeks ago, we had our first launch, and it was a really lovely day. Like, a lot of the men's team came down, and a lot of the coaches and workers all came down and sort of watched it, and there were some really good speeches. And it's really good, like, driven by a few of the workers there, like Lindsay and Lockie, who are really involved and really passionate about sort of getting it up and running and doing as much as we can for the community and just the Lions, and trying to get this action plan and going, and the partnership with Deadly Choices. So
Petro, Steve, do you have any advice for Ali for, you know, community engagement and what it's like being an athlete working in our community?
I think for me, you know, I guess football's one part of your life, but I think you get an understanding of what you mean to the community, I guess, with your deeds on the sporting field. And I think that's one of the things I've loved about, you know, playing sport, is it's not just about what happens on the field, it's also too about how you can make a positive difference off the field as well. And that's, I guess, while we're all here, and while we're you know, so lucky to be a part of Deadly Choices, it's just all about, you know, spreading a lot of positivity around you know, the career that we've been fortunate to have.
I'll sort of back Petra up there, and you know, a big thing for me is when we got things like the Work It Out program, when you see the uncles and aunties, they just love seeing you, see their face light up when you walk into the room, hey Petra, it's like, oh, you know, and they usually give you a jibe or something. So that's what it's about to me. And you know, I've learned a lot over the past nearly eight years that I've done, especially the Work It Out program, talking to the elders, and I sort of find that links to my family that I didn't know about, and I find out through a lot of the aunties that are out there. So for me, it's been really good. I just enjoy every day we're out in the community.
Yeah, that's deadly. Yeah, so a big part of working in the community is about inspiring, you know, our next generation, and motivating our mob to think about their health. So we've got, you know, the women's AFL and the women's NRL coming into the world. And what has it been like for inspiring young girls to pick up rugby league, or, you know, your interactions, Ali, with younger girls picking up AFL?
Yeah, you definitely see just so much more involvement, the young girls. So, like, I'll be at the park and you'll see, you know, a young girl kicking like an AFL ball. And a few years ago, you know, probably didn't really see that as often. But it's just knowing that you can sort of have that influence. And then with the NRLW, so I feel like we've sort of really led the way in that, and just sort of opened up this path for women playing rugby. And
absolutely.
I mean, women were always playing rugby, but sort of just kick-started and started the flame, you know. So it's just really exciting to see that, you know, be up and running. And I know a lot of AFLW girls sit there and watch a lot of the NRLW just to support the women, even if they don't even watch, you know, any sort of rugby at all. So they really just get around the girls, and they obviously have their grand final coming up, so it'll be an exciting time for them, like the first of its kind. So grand final weeks and stuff is just sort of like, stick with your routine and, you know, don't let it change too much. And at the end of the day, it is just a game, and you sort of can't change too much of your routine, otherwise play out the game in your head. And
yeah
you know, so
I definitely have felt that a lot of girls, you know, are excited, but now the opportunity is there, it goes from passion to work ethic, and that comes with healthy eating and exercising. So it's everything we promote in our game, and with the opportunities, girls are able to take it to the next level with their fitness and health.
I think it's really exciting too, you know, obviously sitting here with Ali, and, you know, just the role model that she is, and you know, young girls aspiring to just to be like her. And I guess it's the same with the women's NRL competition winding up with the grand final this weekend. I mean, yeah.
What about the mighty Bronco girl?
Yeah, so special. Well, my daughter just started playing rugby league, and she talks about her role models. Again, obviously Talisha, who's such an awesome ambassador, Talisha Harden, an awesome ambassador with Deadly Choices, but also to a very important member of that Brisbane Broncos team that'll take part in the grand final. You know, again, they're heroes. You know, and it's wonderful to see the growth of girls and women's sport on the back of these trailblazers Ali, like Talisha, who have really set the pathway for that next generation of young girls coming through. So it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I even went up to the Sunshine Coast yesterday. They have the under 14 or under 15 and under 17 youth girls carnival for AFL. And I did a bit of coaching for the Indigenous under 15s girls. So we had a comp up in Darwin. We went up there and I coached them for that. And then we went down to Melbourne and we had the last one in Byron Bay last year. And
it's a nice venue.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And even just yesterday, a lot of them come down from like North Queensland. So they come from all over Queensland and they would pretty much, there's like, you know, 20 of them just come up to me and give me a hug. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't remember your name. But like, because there's just so many that come through the program. Yeah. But, you know, just the fact that I've sort of made an influence on them and that they've remembered me and, you know, come up and still, you know, want to have a yarn.
Absolutely.
It's really nice.
Well, that's great, Ellie. Any chance, I had to ask this, you code hop, you might come and play for the Broncos.
I actually considered it this year. But
there you go.
Well, we've got a contract right here.
Yeah. No pressure. I definitely would maybe have a shot next year.
Ali, you mentioned you had a short stint at the QMC a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I did. I played in Ipswich and it's a really exciting game. I really love playing it.
Bit rough?
Yeah, it is. I don't feel like I'm, you know, the biggest person on the field, but just put me on the wing, put me in the back line somewhere.
I think that's the awesome thing about this is that you can, you know, look at other opportunities in other sports, because I know obviously with the women's cricket as well, we had a few softballers that jumped across. We're seeing a few, I guess, AFL players that played other sports as well, like yourself. I know Talisha played a bit of rugby. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about the growth of women's sport. It's going to be able to create so much more exciting opportunities for any athlete. If they want to give it a go, just put your hand up and
my dad's shot. Definitely egging me on for it. He's like, hey, next year, like, okay, I'll think about it.
Yeah. I remember my dad coming and he was writing on Facebook, you know, I haven't been this nervous in a while. And I was like, you're not playing. It's me. I'm the one playing. But finally, you know, we move into holiday season, but we're moving into October, which is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Petro in particular, you know, this time of year is something that holds a special significance for you.
We talk about, you know, raising awareness and I think, you know, for a lot of the community, you know, they can talk about experiences that they've had. And I guess for myself, the family member passed from breast cancer. And I think it's just so important that, you know, the realization that, you know, breast cancer doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter who you are. And so it's just important that, you know, we encourage, you know, everyone out there to ensure that they get their checks done, to do their own self-checks, but also to just so that this is part of our normal conversation, so that we're all aware of, and just making sure that we're encouraging, you know, our mums, our sisters, our daughters, to make sure that they stay on top of their checks and make it a part of everyday conversation. I think that's really important.
Yeah, some touching words, Petro. That's what we're all about, prevention here. Saying that all our listeners out there, young women and old, should get their regular screening. It goes without saying that all our listeners out there, young women and old, should go regularly screen themselves. And if there's anything at all that doesn't feel right, go to see your doctor at your local Aboriginal Medical Service. Now, before we wrap it up, it wouldn't be a Deadly Choices show if we didn't ask everyone what their deadly choice is. Ali, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so at the moment for me, my deadly choice is definitely the healthy eating and exercise. So diet's a really big part of my life. Mm-hmm. So I have to fuel myself properly because I do a lot of exercise at the moment. I'm probably working out about, you know, two or three times a day, sometimes four. So, you know, I need to make sure that I'm actually eating correctly and that I can sort of, you know, not burn out and have enough energy.
Yeah, I think for me, I've been through. I just had a week hiatus the other week. I went down to a health retreat, which someone wanted to put in the paper. So that was, so you can't hide too much. But look, it's a reset for me. Yeah. And so for me, I've lost a few kilos. You know, I'm eating more salad, and that's the thing. Just little changes in your life, and I didn't realise probably at the time how unhealthy my diet was, which I thought was healthy. But when you get get a reset, I wasn't eating nowhere near enough salad or fruit. And so now that's just turned around and it's been great. So I've sort of, I made a real commitment just to reset the body. And hopefully that'll sustain me for a lot more years yet.
That's it. I guess for me, lastly, I'm probably just finding, you know, time to exercise, you know, just time. And for me at the moment, you know what, I'm just loving walking. I love going for a walk with my kids. My kids love, you know, going on their scooter or riding their bikes. I live down at Redcliffe, so we're lucky we're just not too far away from walking along and looking at that water. And it's a beautiful way, you know, to finish off the day or even to start a day, you know, but just having time with my kids and exercising at the same time. So that's my deadly choice.
Perfect. Mm. Thanks again, Ali, Steve and Petro, for being part of the Deadly Choices Radio here on 98.9 FM for the best country. Catch us again next week from 6 p.m. Or you can download the podcast immediately after the show on 989fm.com.au or listen on the app. Remember to regularly check the Deadly Choices Facebook page or head to your local AMS to get your 715 and that Deadly Choices t-shirt.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.